Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, great specials as well. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar, led by the Dills and the Barrels, second to none. Sean went out and picked up the barrels to bring to the wedding.
Bingo.
Oh, I didn't say G72. Oh, just kidding.
Well, you knew what I was getting at.
I think so. Sure.
Yeah, yes.
That's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Hey, gift cards for Father's Day. Something to think about next week.
And I got to what I got to last year.
Same thing you got me for my birthday.
Same thing you got me for Christmas.
Yeah. You're marvelously.
You like it so much. I don't want to hurt you.
I admire consistency.
But we got you a gift today.
Oh, you did, huh?
Next break, I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, yeah. I'll bet you're going to give it to me, but good. All right. And I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio.
I found that hurtful.
Sunbury Motor Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Two play-by-play calls of the day. One last night at PPG Paints Arena.
To the right point it goes. Schultz to Malkin. Back to Schultz on the near side for Pittsburgh. To Crosby, dish it off to Hornquist, back to Crosby, to Schultz, shooting, scoring, Justin Schultz from 60 feet, the Penguins take the lead, 1-0, hell, get in the fast lane, Grandma, the bingo game is ready to roll, power play goal, Pittsburgh Penguins.
The legendary Mike Lang, the Hall of Famer with the call last night. That turned out to be the winning goal because they only needed one last night. They won 6-0 game 6 in Nashville on Monday night. The other play-by-play call of the day took place 44 years ago today.
For this tremendous Belmont stick. Everybody's in line and they're off. The early lead goes to Mike Allen. Yes, Mike Allen going for the lead with twice the press on the outside. Secretary to wave very well, has good position on the rail, and in fact is now going up with the leader. They're moving for the first turn. It is Secretary. Sham on the outside is also moving along strongly. And now it's Sham. Sham and Secretary are right together into the first turn. Mike Allen has third behind them. Then it's twice the press, and the trailer is Private Smiles as they go by the turn. Those two together, Sham on the outside. Sham getting ahead in front as they move around the turn with Secretary at second. Then there's a large gap. Making 8 lengths back to Mike Allen in third and Vice and Prince fourth. And Private Smiles is still the trailer. They're on the backstretch. It's almost a match race now. Secretariat's on the inside by a head. Sham is on the outside. They've opened 10 lengths on Mike Allen, who is third by a head, with Vice of Prince fourth. Then it's another 8 lengths back to Private Smiles, who is trailing the field. They continue down the backstretch, and that Secretariat now taking the lead. He's got it by about a length and a half. Still Sham, 10 lengths back, Mike Allen, Vice of Prince. They're moving on the turn now. For the turn at Secretariat. It looks like he's opening. The lead is increasing. They get 3, 3.5. He's moving into the turn. Secretariat holding on to a large lead. Sham is second, and then it's a long way back to Mike Allen and Vice of Prince. They're on the turn, and Secretariat is blazing along. The first 3/4 of a mile and 109 4/5. Secretariat is lightning now. He is moving like a tremendous machine. Secretary is all alone. He's out there almost to the 60th of a mile away from the rest of the horses. Secretary
31 lengths. Secretariat is still to this day the record holder in the Kentucky Derby. He is the record holder in the Preakness. And at 224, no horse has ever approached what he did in a mile and a half. Unbelievable. Secretariat, 44 years ago today. And with that, we bring in my basketball broadcast partner and the preeminent race writer in the country, horse racing writer in the country, Dick Girardi.
Moving like a tremendous machine.
Exactly right.
The great Chick Anderson call on the far turn when Secretariat opens up 20 on the field, wins by 31.
Amazing. It's a mile and a half all the way around, Dick. So, and jockeys that don't go to Belmont obviously aren't used to certain things. Can you misjudge the stretch run in this race because of how long the stretch is?
Yeah, what happens, Steve, a lot of times is jockeys are used to when they're bending into a far turn at a typical mile racetrack, there's about 3/8 of a mile left in the race. At Belmont Park, there's 5/8, so they have a tendency to go too soon, go before they're supposed to. So, yeah, to that point, it's not necessarily the stretch so much as it is those turns that are unending at Belmont, much sharper turns at the mile tracks like Churchill and Pimlico. So, yeah, some jockeys that are not used to riding Belmont Park can and do often make some mistakes in the race.
Irish War Cry, at the moment, is the favorite. Dick, what happened to Irish War Cry in his trip at Churchill?
Yeah, I think it's pretty explainable now that we've seen the results of the Preakness. I thought it that weekend. I just couldn't be sure. Remember what a mess the racing surface was the day of the Derby. It was muddy. It was sloppy.
Right.
Well, over time that day, as they were working on the track, trying to get it closer to fast, which they never really did, when the rain stopped, the inside part of the surface became more compacted, and horses that were nearer the rail just weren't sinking into the mud as much as horses further outside. So that's obviously going to be an advantage. And Irish War Cry was one of the horses who was outside throughout. So basically, was the way I always describe it to people, it was like the two human beings, one running on an Olympic track and the other on sand, of equal ability running next to each other. Well, the guy in the sand has no chance. Irish War Cry was in the sand on Derby Day, so I think he'll run a lot better tomorrow than he did 5 weeks ago.
It starts from the number 7 post. With a mile and a half, is post position relevant in a mile and a half?
Not really, because, yeah, I mean, it's such a long race that they have so much time to sort themselves out, and it's mostly relevant in a race like the Derby. It's always relevant just because there's 20 horses and the potential for chaos is there. But, yeah, 12 horses at Belmont Stakes, a mile and a half, they'll sort themselves out fairly quickly.
All right. There's another interesting – there's several interesting horses in here, and one happens to be Epicaris. I want to say raced in Japan and then the last time Dubai cleared quarantine on Saturday. What's the thought process when you look at that horse?
Yeah, he's the mystery horse. I mean, look, Japanese racing is among the very best in the world. It's a huge game over there. It's supported by a phenomenal amount of fans that go and bet on the game. But not many Japanese horses have raced around the world yet, so it's really kind of hard to figure out how they fit. As you mentioned, Epicaris ran in Dubai, ran second to Thundersnow, lost by a nose, and had won all of his races in Japan. So his form looks great, but there's just no way to know how he matches up with the American horses until, unfortunately, they run the race. But I know there's going to be a huge Japanese contingent of media that's followed the horse over here. He was bred in Japan. And obviously, we had a Japanese driver win the Indy 500, so why not a Japanese horse win the Belmont?
Right. Yeah, that would be interesting. Talked with Lafitte Pinkai earlier in the week, and he's looking forward to working the Pennsylvania Derby with you again.
Yeah, he's one of the great guys.
Yeah, he really is. He really likes Taprit.
Why should you like Tapper?
Yeah, look, he fits the recent pattern of Belmont Stakes winners. I know we talked, Steve, prior to the Derby, Todd Fletcher just had trouble winning that race. He obviously won it for the second time this year, but he's had no trouble in the Belmont. He's got a real good sense of how you win it. And how he's done it, he'll run a horse in the Derby, horse will sit for 5 weeks, and then come back in the Belmont. That's how he won it with Palace Malice. That's how he won it with the great filly Rags to Riches. She didn't run in the Derby. She ran the same weekend in the Oaks. And it's how he's almost won it four or five other times. He's been second, including last year with Destin. So Tapper fits that exact form, that pattern that Fletcher has used in the past. So, yeah, I think that's one of the reasons Lafitte likes him. And I like him. I think he's got a chance. He's not my first pick, but he's certainly a horse that has a real chance.
And then, of course, there's going to be a sentimental horse in the race, and he ran in the Derby. That's Patch with one eye. I think Johnny V is going to ride him, right?
He is. Johnny V is riding. It was No Always Dreaming in the race. And, yeah, Patch is the horse. A lot of people talked about him at the Derby. I mean, he was 14-1. He really probably should have been 40-1. But the whole country was talking about the horse with the one eye. And, Steve, he didn't really have much of a chance in Kentucky. Remember, he had the 20 post. We talked about the outside being the wrong place to be. He was way out there in the middle. So I think you can put a line through his race. The problem with Patch is, unlike Tapperit, even his best races aren't really good enough to win. Even if he comes back to his very best, he just hasn't done enough. He's only won one race. He's won for four. So, but, yeah, anytime it's Johnny V and Todd Fletcher and like Tapperit, he's been off the 5 weeks, right of the Derby, past the Preakness, back in the Belmont.
Now, looking at Lee, I think this will be all three for looking at Lee, right?
He'd be the only one that'll make it all the way through this year. Classic Empire was going to make it all the way through until he came up with the hoof abscess on his hoof on Wednesday. So, Looking at Lee will be the only horse to make it through all three races.
What did you think of Looking at Lee in both the Preakness and the Kentucky Derby? Any thought about that horse?
Yeah, it's interesting. I thought he ran a lot better in the Preakness than I thought he would. Obviously, he ran better in the Derby than anybody thought he would. I thought he was very much the recipient of that live rail. I thought it really helped him in Kentucky. But he didn't run bad at Pimlico. He was fourth beaten five lengths. That wasn't a bad effort. He's just the kind of horse with his running style, Steve. He's probably going to be last early. I'm just not a big fan of those kind of horses. It's like they're good on TV. I know you and I talked about it.
Yeah.
Everybody loves National Velvet unless they bet on National Velvet.
You get that right.
It's not such a good thing. I mean, it sounds good on in the movies, but in reality, the horse that usually makes the last move is not the horse that wins the race. So that would be my concern with Looking at Lee. He's only won one race in his life. This will be the ninth straight race. He's been in a graded stakes race, and he's run well in all of them. He just hasn't won any of them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It keeps being in the neighborhood, but never is the lead horse.
Exactly.
What's interesting, I always find about the Triple Crown that I think makes it special is I think you have to race three different ways to get there because there's 20 horses in the Derby. Preakness has fewer, but it's a mile and 3/16, and then there's the marathon. What kind of strategy is needed in a Belmont after all the Belmonts that you've watched that makes it different than the other two?
It's very counterintuitive. I think you need a horse with some speed because they're all hitting the wall the last 200 yards.
Yeah.
And you'd much prefer if your horse is tired. You'd much prefer to be in front than trying to close when you're tired. So I think it's you like to be, say, within five lengths of the lead early. It's not like it's unwinnable from back there. In fact, the last year's winner creator came from further back than that. But generally speaking, the modern racehorse, Steve, I think you want to have a horse with a little bit of speed, and I think that's one of Irish War Cry's edges tomorrow. It's a race that has very few horses with early speed. So there's going to be, you always look for a race where there's very few of a particular style, whatever the style might be. If you can be one of two with speed or in a race where there's five or six speed horses, you're the best closer, then things potentially could break your way. So I think Irish War Cry really has, he might be the best horse anyway, and he also has the right style for the race.
And plus there's one of the great misnomers when you see somebody flying down the stretch, right? It just means that the ones they're catching are just more tired than that horse is.
That is correct. Yeah, it's an optical illusion. Everybody says, oh, this horse is really flying. In the history of this, certainly the Triple Crown, there's very few horses, I mean, almost none, that are running faster at the end than they did at the beginning. And that would even be true of Secretary of the Belmont Stakes, when he set the world record. His first half of the race was way faster than the second half of the race, but he was so fast at the beginning, he was still able to set the world record. The Secretary was so amazing because in his Kentucky Derby, he actually did run each quarter mile faster than the previous one, and that never happens, except one year of Secretary. It does happen.
The last 2 years, this will be the second consecutive year, Dick, we will have three different winners of the Triple Crown. And, of course, 37 years went by before American Pharoah. Obviously, circumstances fall into play, but does this then again cement what American Pharoah did, showing how difficult this trip really is?
It's astonishing. And I thought maybe the most amazing thing about American Pharoah's run was that whole year, and just prior to and after the Triple Crown, he never had a home game. The horse was stabled in Southern California, had to get on an airplane every time to run. One in Arkansas, one in Kentucky, one in Maryland, one in New York, and then ended up winning in Kentucky again in New Jersey in the interim at Monmouth Park. So, yeah, it was an astonishing season. Yeah, and it does show just how talented that horse was. And then, of course, he gave you his best race at the end of the Breeders' Cup when he just ran out of the TV set. Three races in 5 weeks. It doesn't sound that difficult until you actually try it. And then it goes, because to your point, you end up, why don't we just end up in a marathon, right?
So,
look at it as like the Ironman triathlon.
Yeah.
Where you gotta not only be faster, but you gotta win all three legs. That doesn't happen.
Right.
I mean, you'd write the, you don't win swimming, biking, and running. You might have the best overall time, but nobody's the best at all three of them. I don't think. Maybe there are. I don't know enough about Ironman. My Ironman is walking to turn off my TV.
All right, so how do we want to play it tomorrow, Dick?
We want to play Irish War Cry first and Taproot second, and I'm going to give you Senior Investment for third, Steve. So a 7-2-8 trifecta. And you can rest assured, if that comes in, I will not need my easy pass on the way home. I will be able to pay for the tolls.
Perfect. And those tolls are not cheap going over the
border. No, they're not, man. You go over that Verrazano, it could cost you $20.
You got that right. You got that right. My friend, great to hear you.
You got it.
Have a good time tomorrow with it.
And you do the same, pal. I know where you'll be. All the best tomorrow.
We'll sneak out at some point, and we will catch the race for a little bit.
Sounds like a plan. You got to do that.
All right.
But just don't sneak out for too long.
No, I'll sneak out for 2 minutes and 29 seconds.
There you go. You got it.
Thanks, Dick.
All right, Steve. See you, pal.
Dick Girardi, my broadcast partner for Penn State basketball, going into our 14th season together. Also with the Philadelphia Daily News, where he writes college basketball and is one of the preeminent horse racing writers in the country. We will come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
SMC is where you want to be this summer.
It's the Summer Spectacular Sale.
Sunbury Motors Ford is drastically reducing every new Ford in stock during the SMC Summer Spectacular Sale. SMC is where you want to be because every new Ford will be clearly marked with savings up to $12,700. Choose from over 20 new 2017 Ford Focuses, and they're slashed to as low as $15,930. Sunbury Motors is Central Pennsylvania's Ford truck giant. Pick from four city blocks of new Ford trucks. 2017 Ford F-150s priced from only $24,419. There's 45 of the red-hot selling 2017 Ford Escapes, and they're priced at just $19,380. SMC is where you want to be because the prices are so low, they're practically giving vehicles away. Wait, they are. Get a 1915 SMC limited edition die-cast Model T collectible just for test driving a Ford while supplies last. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving Central PA since 1915.
Big night for the for Suit Light. Tears flowing out of the eyes of the suit because now he knows he has to, you know, he has to pay for college. What?
Actually, he made it perfectly clear. He stopped by in the studio about a half an hour ago, thanked me for the graduation card on behalf of his son, and said, "Hey, this night's all about him. It's not about me. It was all about me at senior night." So I guess he got it out of his system. Then again, that could change when his name gets called out tonight. Could get nasty in the stands.
Do the wave.
I think he needs help.
Yeah.
And now you could go at this a couple different ways. Number one, he's growing up before our eyes,
mm-hmm.
where it's gone from being about him to now being about his son. So that is a step forward. But the fact that he still won't admit that senior night for football was actually the kids' night because he's the one that went to all the practices, that's really sad.
For the month of June, the word is out about Sunbury Motors Kia. And the word is no.
We want to see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Yes, that's right. No. As in no interest, 0% financing for up to 66 months. And no payments till November on all 2017 Fortes, Souls, Optimas, and Serenos.
And SMC has them clearly sale priced on the window.
2017 Souls starting at $15,328. Fortes starting at $15,947. Optimas starting at $19,997. And 2017 Serenos starting at $23,894. And with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, you'll see why Sunbury Motors Kia is into no in a big way. No hassles. No pressure, no problem. Sunbury Motor Kia on the Golden Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotorskia.com and say yes before someone else gets your Kia.
Tax and tags extra, 0% financing to all qualified customers to KMF. Restrictions apply. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Who can say no to that?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias. Guten haben. How are you? Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, second to none. Sean is bringing barrels with him to the wedding tomorrow. Kind of a cheap gift, but that's not. Oh, you mean that's for us? Oh, I'm sorry.
That's for you guys. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I got a gift here for you. This is in honor of your golfing.
Oh, my golfing. Curly, Larry, and Mo. Golf with your friends.
The Three Stooges.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Is that cool or what? We found it in an antique store.
Yeah, and believe me, they're all antiques.
Yeah. So you can hang that on your wall or you can throw it away, whatever you'd like to do.
Curly and Mo were brothers, as was Shemp. So the three of them were brothers, the Howards. Larry was Larry Fine.
Really?
Yes.
And we got to give a shout out to our Uncle Dwayne out in Rochester, New York. He's listening today.
Well done.
Hi, Uncle Dwayne.
All right. So again, we've been able to, I think we've actually increased the audience tenfold just by Kevin's shout outs.
Well, we have people from Massachusetts, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Noreca, Mass.
I mean, we're all,
Connecticut.
All over the country now, Sean.
Thanks to the podcast, which is now available on both iTunes, Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. So if you listen to us on your Apple Podcast app, don't hesitate to leave us a review. Subscribe. Get caught up in the episode you miss.
And if it's a negative review, just keep it to yourself. All right. Okay. All right. Trivia time. He has his notebooks here. He brought it with him. All right, so he has his notebook. So while he organizes himself...
Oh, I'm good. I'm ready.
All right, he's ready. All right. All right, well, then you get to go first. Sean, you all set?
Yep, I got one ready to go. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go with Kevin first, then you, and then I'll think of one.
Okay.
he hates when I do that.
Because that's how you roll.
Any way to win. What NBA team was the first to win the NBA Finals 3 or more years in a row?
I'm going to say, it's easy to say the Celtics. I'm going to say the Minneapolis Lakers.
I was thinking Celtics, too.
Minneapolis Lakers is mine.
You are correct, Steve Jones. The Minneapolis Lakers were the first to win 3 or more NBA championships in a row. They did it in 1951, 52, 52, 53, and 53, 54.
Why do you seem angry when I get something right?
Who, me?
You seem so bitter.
Especially more in person than over the phone.
Especially when you got that major league question right. That just blew me away. The All-State guy? That's when I said a bad word on the air.
You're not the first person that said a bad word about me.
I couldn't believe you got that right. That just... Yeah. And you were so nonchalant. Oh, the All-State guy. Yeah. I'm like, oh.
Oh, Dennis Haysbert.
Yeah. Well, you even know his name. I didn't know his name. Oh, just the All-State guy.
He played the president on 24.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Sean, you're next.
Okay. Over the past week, we found out Clayton Kershaw reached 2,000 strikeouts in just his 277th career game. So there's four pitchers in Dodgers franchise history that have reached that milestone. Clayton Kershaw is one. Name the other three.
Oral Hershiser.
Well, let's go with one of the obvious, Sandy Koufax.
Yes.
Don Drysdale.
That's two.
Valenzuela.
Don Sutton.
And that, my friend, is three.
Wow.
Boom.
I didn't get any right. Look at him. He's just grinning at me.
I'm
like, take that, sucker. I'm still guessing.
He's just mic dropping left and right.
Fernando Valenzuela, I thought, would be up there, but no.
Okay. All right. You guys pick it. What category do you want? Football, basketball, baseball, whatever, hockey. What do you guys want?
Girls basketball.
Girls basketball. Oh, jeez. Great. Fabulous. All right, fine.
I got you, didn't I, huh? Yeah, finally.
You okay. Thought he did. You thought he did.
Yeah, okay. Watch him come up. I'll get it wrong.
Okay. What college did Reggie Miller's sister, Cheryl Miller, play for?
USC.
There you go.
Yep.
I actually did a game between Penn State and USC when she played. So,
we're 1-1-1.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, I got...
or you're two. You got two right.
Yeah, I was a non-participant in the third.
Oh, this is not good.
He's looking... Okay, Sean, give me your next
one. Sean, go ahead.
Okay. All right, this one is pretty much just, strictly a Phillies question. I mean, we talk about Jared Eichhoff here on the show. He's been struggling. He is winless in his first 12 starts. Name the last Philly to do that. The last Philly to be winless in his last 12 starts.
And winless in his last 12 starts?
Yeah, and actually it happened earlier this decade.
Ay, ay, ay.
In this decade it happened?
Yes, it happened earlier this decade, correct. Where a certain Phillies pitcher was winless in 12 consecutive starts. Now with Eichhoff, Eichhoff, we're talking about a little bit of last year and this year, but that actually happened within a full season.
I would say, well, first of all, you have to be good enough to get the starts. I mean, you do have to be good enough to get the starts. This is going to sound crazy. Cliff Lee.
You are correct.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah, he just had bum luck that year. I mean, he had
You got to see this.
It was a huge...
He's loving himself right now.
No, I mean, it was... I remember that season. It was just... It was just bad luck after bad luck start after bad luck start. There was just a ton of no decisions that were thrown in there. And there are just a lot of times where the, you know, offense just didn't back him up on certain nights.
I mean, see, my theory on something like that with consecutive losses, it normally has to be somebody who's actually good enough to get the ball every fifth day.
Yep, that was back in 2012.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Okay, two players have hit a grand slam on their first major league pitch they faced. Name those players.
Doggone it, one of them just happened, I think, last year.
Grand slam now, first pitch. First at bat, not right. First pitch.
Yeah. John, I don't know.
One is Kevin Kuzman of the Cleveland Indians.
Not to be confused with Jerry Kuzman.
No, I'm sorry, Kevin Kuzmanhoff. Not to be confused with Jerry Kuzmanhoff. And the other one is for the Red Sox, Daniel Nava.
Who now is with the Phillies, right?
I believe so, yeah. He's a good player. Nava's a good man.
Daniel Nava was always a good fourth outfielder.
Yep.
He's a good fourth outfielder.
Shows up to play, always prepared. Good man in the clubhouse, good clean life, clean living life. And he's good Red Sox. He played well for them.
All right, here's one for you. Matt Murray is the goalie for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He registered a shutout last night, the first shutout by a rookie goaltender in the Stanley Cup Final since Patrick Waugh and Cam Ward.
My answer was going to be Patrick Waugh. So, okay.
But what's interesting is that, of course, he was the goalie last year when they won. So name the only player in NHL history to be the Conn Smythe Award winner as the playoff MVP the year before being the Rookie of the Year.
Grant Fuhr.
Good guess. Not correct, but good guess.
Hmm.
The only player in NHL history to be the playoff MVP the year before winning the Rookie of the Year.
Wow. Man, I know this.
Marty Brodeur?
Another good guess. Ken Dryden.
Yes. Wow.
Of the Montreal Canadiens. In 1971, he was the playoff MVP, the Conn Smythe Award winner, won the Calder Trophy in 72 as the Rookie of the Year. He only played six regular season games before the playoffs. And then he got in there, and they're like, don't take him out. He's pretty good.
He's a phenom.
Good and he was also, of course, the color analyst on the Miracle on Ice game with Al Michaels. All right, who's next?
I'll throw one more in. Okay, back to baseball. Of course, earlier this week, Scooter Gennett from the Reds had that evening of four home runs. Only one member of the 600 home run club ever hit four home runs in one game. Name the player. Only one member of the 600 home run club has ever hit four home runs in one game.
Alex Rodriguez.
Well, I'm going to say Willie Mays.
Bingo.
Oh, my gosh. That's really impressive.
You're tempted to drive back to Connecticut now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm really happy right now. Oh, you got to see him. Okay.
You're going to be pacing smiling up and down the halls in your hotel tonight trying to stump him tomorrow.
If I could get in the friggin' place.
You can't find the hotel.
We're going to sleep at the Cracker Barrel tonight.
We know how to get there from there.
They'll open tomorrow morning at 6.
Okay. Well, they're building a Sheetz next to the Cracker Barrel.
Yes.
Right? And I've been telling people I think that'll be done before the road is.
That's true. What driver has the most career victories in NASCAR Cup Series competition?
Richard Petty. 200, seven of them being Daytona 500s.
How many episodes of Everybody Loves Raymond?
I don't know.
Were made in the 90s.
210.
I have no idea. No, I'm trying to find something that you don't know. What's my waistline?
You didn't even give him a chance to say the answer.
He said the answer.
Okay.
I said Richard Petty.
Okay, yes.
200 wins overall, 7 Daytona 500.
That I heard, but I didn't catch the name. But that's okay.
Yeah. He didn't give you a chance to even play, which I find hurtful.
Were you going to get it right?
Yes. I thought when Kevin was bringing up Everybody Loves Raymond, I was going to say, how many episodes did they play Steve Miller Band's Jungle Love?
Oh, just one, right?
I was thought of at least 2 at the wedding.
Yeah, oh,
Raymond,
that's right.
Raymond's brother's wedding.
Raymond's brother's wedding and when the snowstorm. Remember the snowstorm and Deborah?
Yeah, they were over at the parents' house, yes.
Yes, yeah. And they got stranded, and Robert and her finally got back together again.
And they used it as the theme song in season 6 for more than one episode.
Yeah, I love that show. Oh, my God. So, anyway, how about King of Queens? Oh, my God.
I'm more of a Raymond fan than King of Queens.
Oh,
Kevin James is funny.
He's good. So, that's what used to be my typical night, TV land, all night long. So, not anymore. I'm married. And she's sitting right here.
And you play lots of online poker.
It's slots.
Slots.
That's what's missing.
Slots.
I don't have my slot machine.
Uh-oh.
I just sit there and play the slots while we're doing it.
Well, she hit it before you left. That was for a reason.
Yeah. She doesn't like it. But
gee, I wonder why.
I don't care. We're having fun. God, we saw some bad stuff today. We saw a deer go right through someone's windshield, and the legs of the deer were hanging out of the windshield.
Oh, my goodness.
It was awful.
What highway were you on?
I was on 84, right before Newburgh.
Oh, Newburgh. New York.
Yeah, it was awful. I mean, the traffic was backed up for miles, but the deer went right into the car.
Oof.
Hopefully the person didn't get hurt, but we don't really see how he or she didn't get hurt. That was just one of the worst things I've ever seen on the highway.
Wow. Bad. All right, Sean, you're next.
I'm out of questions. I'm good.
I'm out of questions. I'm good?
Yeah. I thought we were going to fill most of this segment up with, reminiscing and, stories of you guys growing up and...
Friday night, it was late. I was walking you home. We got down to the gate, and I was dreaming of the night.
Oh, geez. Hey, by the way, Ohio State hired Chris Holtmann today to replace Thad Matta. Holtmann had been at Gardner-Webb for 3 years, and then he took a job. He left Gardner-Webb as a head coach to take the assistant coaching job at Butler. And if you recall, early on, he had to become the interim coach at Butler. And then they just finally gave it to him permanently. And he had 3 great years at Butler and now goes to Ohio State. A lot of people will tell you on the surface that he's everything right about the profession, the way he goes about his business, judges talent, recruits, coaches. A lot of people have a lot of respect for him. Now he's going to find out on the big stage. And as you and I both know, Thad Matta got his head coaching start at Butler as well before then going to Xavier. So Chris Holtmann is now the head basketball coach at Ohio State. And now what they're going to do, what they can do between now and the start of training camp, they're going to be very limited. They only have 10 players on the roster, and only 9 of them happen to be scholarship players. And to my knowledge, they have not had any graduate transfers or anything like that to get involved with, and it's really late in the game to do that. But he also has established some interesting recruiting pipelines that we'll see as time goes and how it pays off at Ohio State. But he's one of the hot names out there. When I was talking yesterday about the usual suspects come up with names, he was one of the ones that came up right away. Chris Mack at Xavier, Holtmann at Butler, and a couple of other guys that were in that hot pipeline. And you know, you're going to a program in Ohio State that's been to the Final Four twice in the last 8 years. So it's not as if, you know, you're going someplace that has a destitute tradition. They don't say anything, but that's the big story of the Big Ten today that's going on with them. And, of course, Golden State will play tonight. Golden State will play Cleveland tonight.
It's over.
I mean, when you look at LeBron and you look at Irving, brilliant one-on-one play all night long. But what happens when you're in a game that has that kind of intensity and you're taking to the bucket as often as the two of them have been doing, you do get tired. You just, I mean, fatigue enters in. It takes a lot of work to do that.
Well, those two guys have given it. I think Kevin Love has let them down in the series. They needed Love to be tremendous, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
You just can't match up with Golden State like that. Like LeBron said the other night, they have so much firepower, you can't take them all out of the game. They just, if one guy's not hitting, this guy's hitting. And it's hard to beat a team like that, which told me LeBron is beaten.
Yeah.
He's given up. So,
The International Olympic Committee added 3-on-3 basketball to the 2020 Tokyo Olympics today.
That's just insane.
That's ridiculous.
Hmm. But they took baseball away.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. And that's just whatever.
They have 28 core sports. 10,616 athletes will be in Tokyo. 64 will be in the 3-on-3 basketball. They're also talking about the possibility of adding cheerleading.
Oh, that'll be a big one.
Let's see. Track cycling will add men's and women's Madison races in a velodrome about 80 miles outside of Tokyo. Swimming is going to add the men's 800-meter freestyle and the women's 1,500-meter freestyle. Swimming also gets the 4x100-meter mixed medley relay, along with a broad increase in mixed gender events, including the 4x400 mixed relay on the track. Among the sports losing athlete places will be weightlifting along the way. Wrestling loses 56 spots.
Oh, my God.
Sailing and shooting lose 30 apiece. Swimming will have 22 fewer spots. Weightlifting loses 64. But wrestling, while being kept, is going to lose 56 spots for qualifiers.
One more thing the world can destroy. Let's destroy the Olympics. Why not? That's just crazy. 3-on-3 basketball is not even played as a sport anywhere. Maybe on the playground, but how would you qualify for it in the United States?
Well, I can guarantee you the three people on this show wouldn't qualify.
Well, we could try. Get a sled for the Winter Olympics and slide down the hill.
Sean, push.
I'd jump in and fall out. Oh, my little head would be hitting the ice going down the thing. Are you all right?
No offense, I think that slows us down. Well, Sean, we will see you tomorrow.
Bring the pickles. Oh, you betcha. They'll be
looking forward to the pickles, Sean.
They'll be chilling in the cooler, ready to go for the
baby.
Yep.
Got something for you.
That's my dessert.
I have to run out the car and grab them before we catch the Belmont. So
that's right. All right, back on Monday. Big week next week on the show. Looking forward to it very much. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.